As a young child living mostly in rural Alabama, I was surrounded by a flurry of sayings, wives' tales, and southern colloquialisms. I knew that a task at hand would be accomplished if the good Lord was willing and the creek didn't rise. I also knew that you should stay away from Ms. Ruby when she was madder than a wet hen. Folks with big houses and fancy cars were living in high cotton. In recent years, some of our southernisms have gotten national attention, especially the double entendre of bless your heart. I also remember hearing that folks who were really good churchgoers, who helped their neighbors, pitched in, and stepped up to do whatever needed doing, didn't do anything too publicly amiss, were said to be the salt of the earth. Even in my child's mind, I knew that this meant that these folks were good people. I might not have realized that this particular phrase was from the Bible, and I sure didn't know it was part of the Sermon on the Mount. I was still in the Jonah and the whale and Noah and the ark theology at that time. It was later, in my early teen years, that I was soaked in Matthew's gospel through the pop musical Godspell. I remember driving 90 to nothing to Camp Sumatonga in my nifty black Volkswagen Beetle, 8-track player, blasting out, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And if that salt has lost its flavor, it ain't got much in its favor. You can't have that fault and be the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." That is what Jesus says to all gathered on the mount to hear his teaching. He doesn't say, if you're good and do the right thing, if this or if that. He says, you are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. If we had not celebrated the presentation of Christ in the temple, Candlemas, Groundhog Day, and Super Bowl Sunday last week, we would have had the first half of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which talks about a peculiar list of persons he describes as blessed. The list is countercultural even in Christ's day. It does not include the powerful and wealthy, the gorged and indulged, or even the beautiful and thin, but includes those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, those who are meek, those who mourn, those who are pure in heart, and those who are peacemakers. This radical list of the blessed continues and never once lists one of the usual suspects of the world. As a matter of fact, not one occupation is mentioned. What we do seems to be more important, not as important to Jesus as who we are. And so, Jesus, after ending his litany of blessedness, turns to the crowd and says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? You are the light of the world. Let your light shine." Salt and light are interesting metaphors. Salt was a very important commodity at the time of Jesus. Not only was salt used to add flavor, but also used as a preservative. It had big trade value. Maybe at the time of Jesus, when someone was well off, he was considered to be in deep salt rather than high cotton. Salt, however, has gotten a bad rap in recent years in its association with elevated blood pressures and water retention. It can corrode paint off a car when mixed in the air or used on the roads to combat ice and snow. If we refer to an individual as salty, we don't usually mean that person has a charming personality, but is a little gruff or rough around the edges. Surely that's not what Jesus means when he tells those gathered around him that they are the salt of the earth. And light of the world? That's a lot of pressure. How can we be the light of the world? Is Jesus not the one who is the light of the world that Isaiah predicted for the people who sat in darkness? That's his role, not ours, right? Wrong. We too are the light of the world, or we can be, and we should be. The common factor with both light and salt is that they are of the greatest value to other things. Salt by itself is of no use at all, but sprinkle a little on a dull cut of beef and it brings out its flavor. Light enables us to see more clearly. It enhances and illumines, but if no one is around, light's purpose would be lost. Salt and light fulfill their true purpose when used for the benefit of others. We too fulfill our true purpose when we are used for the benefit of others, when we point away from ourselves and toward Christ, the true light. We have the potential to spice up the world and light up the world, but not for our own glorification or to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention and glorification to Christ and ultimately to God. It has been said that variety is the spice of life, and goodness knows God likes variety. That's why he created each and every one of us. You are the spice of life. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. No ifs, ands, or buts. Salt doesn't really lose its flavor, but it may go unused. Light can grow dim and require recharging or reigniting. This is where we come to be rekindled, recharged, and reignited at Christ's table with others who are also salt and light to the world. There is no reason to strive to be someone other than who you are. There is no hope in forging after someone else's goals for your life. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You, the way God created you. Recently, many of us took part in the big class on churchnext.com where Bishop Michael Curry encouraged us to step out and be crazy Christians. Not crazy Christians who predict the end of the earth or claim that hurricanes and tornadoes are caused by God because people in certain regions are behaving badly. Not Christians like those, but Christians who step out of the norm of cultural expectations and actually follow Christ. To the world, Bishop Curry explains, following Christ often looks crazy. Be crazy. Be salt. Be light. Be spicy and point the way to Christ. Have you ever been to a church where everyone looks like they're having the most dismal, painful experience of their lives? Is that salt? Is that light? We have the opportunity to infect the world with joy, with spice, with flavor, with life, with brightness. Do it. I dare you to. I dare you to be spice and brightness in your office this week. I challenge you to be spice and illumination at home. You know, your salt and light just might be contagious. If someone asks you what you're up to, tell them you're a Christian, and we add spice to life. Amen.